This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of This Week in the NFL here on Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. I'm your host, the Cowboy. Back-to-back weeks we've been here. We're on another good run. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the king, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Pretty good, buddy. I'm really not the king. I'm the king of an empty castle, if you want to call it that. Call me a king.
You spend a bit of time on that throne, though, am I right?
I try to keep that as quick as possible. Good start.
I'm fired up this week. We've had it's a Wednesday night, about 10 o'clock right now. We started an hour late due to some technical issues on my end. I know we tend to say that a lot. I have a lot of technical issues over here. And also had some technical issue buying some event tickets today. Got to experience a bit of frustration, but we got our tickets. We're good to go. We're going to WrestleMania, baby. Looking forward to it. How about you, John?
Definitely. NXT, WrestleMania. It's all the way in April. It'll be here before you know it.
I know. And it's really cool. I'm able to bring my 9-year-old nephew, who just got into wrestling about a year ago, to his first WrestleMania. So he's very excited. And when you're buying the tickets with a 9-year-old, you want to get down nice and, as close to the section as possible. So, we don't have anyone, John and I tend to attract people, the kind of people you don't want to sit next to or near at events. So we try to not put Little Rider through that.
Guys that take up two seats, including yours. But it's ironic that you'll be going to MetLife Stadium in April, and I'll be going to Gillette Stadium in June. So it's
what a life!
Not for a football game.
What a life! Rolling Stones. We're going to see the Rolling Stones. They make us all feel young. They're going to be real good.
Let's not speak too soon. I just hope they make it before they. Nobody dies before the concert.
You just heard me knock on wood, everybody. So, to football, week 13 in the books. Good week. A lot of exciting action. I think our loyal listeners and you, John, know where I'm going to start. So, if you fast forward to last Wednesday, John and I are having our normal conversation on This Week in the NFL, your favorite NFL weekly. And I made a big to-do out of going out on a limb, picking the Dallas Cowboys to beat the surging Saints. And then John chimed in that he was doubling down, that I had stolen his thunder because he was going to pick the Cowboys. I'm sure our listeners are thinking, Two idiots who don't know anything. The Saints are going to roll those Cowboys. Well, that's why they play the games, Johnny. Cowboys 13, Saints 10. The game wasn't even really that close. Cowboys really dominated both sides of the ball. Great performance by them. Saints not so much, but Dallas looks for real, man. And so I just wanted to take a second to pat ourselves on the back for that phenomenal call.
Thank you. I was 1-0 on Thursday. I was 1-0 on Monday night, and on Sunday I was about 1-13. So, it's a humbling game.
We don't need to talk about those.
It's a humbling game, but we got one of the important ones, at least. But
outside of the picks, because I kid around a little bit. We do that for fun, but really, really eye-opening game. Just Dallas has been showing signs of getting back into that 2016 form where, you know, going into the playoffs, they were, you know, one of, if not the best team in the NFL. And this win, I think, really solidifies it for them that they are a team that none of these high-flying offensive teams wants to see in the playoffs, because they have that tried and true formula to beat one of these hotshot offensive teams, and that's run the football and play defense. And they might be the best in the league at running the football, and right now they might be the best in the league at defense. You know, John, I know they're a kind of a hated division rival, but the way they play, the way they're playing now, this, you know, given your preferences of how football's played, you gotta like watching these guys.
Yes, definitely. I've been on their defense all year. Just the speed. They seem to play at a faster speed. Another gear with Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch and DeMarcus Lawrence. The way they attack the ball. Their helmets seem to have a magnet for the ball, and are hard hitting. And they got to clean up their hits a little. Smith could have been called on for a head-to-head late in the game, which would have been a turning point penalty. But there was some poor officiating, but I think it went both ways. There was a couple calls that went both ways. Even on the one Saints touchdown, the guy Kirkwood got a little push-off. It could have been an OPI.
It was pretty clear OPI. Yeah. And he pushed him right in the back, extended the arm.
And also, one of the key plays was on a drive where Beasley's knee was down a clear yard before the first down, and they rolled with it. But that was because Peyton blew a bad challenge in the first half. He got suckered into his receiver, Thomas, said, you know, the receivers always say, yeah, I caught the ball, and they always make the motion to go to the booth. And he listened to his receiver instead of listening to his guy in the booth. That was a bad challenge. It was a non-catch. And that came to bite him when he ran out of challenges on that Beasley play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was not the best officiated game in the world. But to your point, I don't think it really affected the outcome. I think
it's not like
the refs gifted the game for the Cowboys. The Cowboys outplayed the Saints flat out.
There was a couple bad calls on both sides. But one thing that I wouldn't expect a Buck or Aikman to say, you know, everybody, your fantasy fucked up. You're all focused on, you know, receivers hurt and all that. But one of the key injuries is Terron Armstead, the left tackle. Left tackle is one of the most important positions on the field, and his absence for the Saints really their line usually Breeze doesn't get touched in the game, and he was under a lot of pressure all game, and that. Last pick that he threw was just shocking to see such a poor throw because he's not used to getting pressure like that, and that was a real a shocking interception. But he's a loud one, Breeze, a great player. I more picked the Cowboys just because I expected this since they were on such a roll. I just knew they couldn't keep it up. They wasn't going to go 15-1, and this is probably the one. They still got to. They're still going to roll to a 13-3 first round bye.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are going to Tampa this week, which will be kind of the opposite from a defensive standpoint of playing the Cowboys. Tampa beat them, right? Tampa beat them in New Orleans.
Revenge from week one game, sure.
And Tampa's playing good. I mean, Tampa put it on the Panthers. Jameis is playing good. So, I mean, that should be a good high-scoring game. I like the Saints. I mean, historically, they're not as good on the road, like a lot of teams, especially on natural grass. But I still like the Saints in that game, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially they're going to come out pretty pissed off, I think.
Yeah, sure. Surely the Saints. This was their one road loss of the year in Dallas, and they still almost pulled it out. But on the Bucks though, Jameis is cleaning up the turnovers the last couple games. That's why, and you see the huge difference. They're a competitive team when he's playing responsible, cleaning up the turnovers, and they're actually stopping a couple people on defense.
He's a real talented kid. I mean,
yeah, they should.
When you see
him.
Some of the schleps that these teams are rolling out at quarterback, they are crazy to let him go. I mean, he's a little bit rough around the edges. And yes, he commits turnovers. I mean, he's a young quarterback, right? He's a young quarterback and golden arm. He can make plays with his feet. He's got the skill set to be one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. And it would be very much a Tampa Bay thing to do for them to let him walk and have him end out with the Giants or somebody like that and, you know, make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but if they clean house down there, it's going to be up to whoever the new coach or even if they clean total house, and maybe even a GM, it's going to be up to the new regime to decide who they want to move forward with at the QB position.
Yeah, I mean, it's him or nobody, though. It's not like they have somebody else, right?
As far as they want to sign another free agent or be one of the multitude of teams that's going to be taking a first round or first couple round pick on a draft.
It seems silly to give up on the guy. That's all. I'm going to be an apologist for him.
No, I agree. I would stick with him. I had said that in previous weeks. I would stick with him. They should have just stuck him back in and kept him after that. After the few weeks of Fitzmagic.
Yeah, and then Dallas out of the frying pan into the fire. So Dallas home for Philly in a game they're favored. Philly played better on Monday night, but I mean there was very little resistance there with Washington, the walking wounded, down to Mark Sanchez, who at this point I'm convinced after my performance on the Sunday after Thanksgiving that I'm a better quarterback than him right now.
I don't know if it speaks well for Philly that Washington was right in the game up into the fourth quarter.
It was fluky. I mean, that one run by Peterson was fluky at 8 yards other than that 190-yard run. But, yeah, I mean, Philly hasn't looked great. I mean, this game's really – if the Cowboys win this game, which they should, they're in position to kind of walk away with the division. Gives them a two-game lead with three to play. Pretty much seals the deal for them. Philly, if Philly wants to make a run and wants to peak, they got to win this game.
Yeah, and especially the schedule who really favors Dallas those last two games. But I want to get back to something in the Redskin in the Eagle game, even though it should have been that close. I got to eat a little humble pie. I'm harping on how coaches go for the 2-point conversion too much and how it gets burned. But in this case, I really liked how Peterson, Philly was up one, and they got a touchdown. They got the six to go up seven, and in the fourth quarter, Peterson dropped the hammer on a two-pointer. Yes, to go up two scores. That's like a real right there, Fred. To go up two scores versus Sanchez, that like sealed the game. I was able to go to sleep after that. I really liked how he went for the two and went for that kill shot right there. So that's a good instance. So
They had been moving the ball up and down the field the whole game, and then were committing turns. They got stopped on fourth down at the 1 yard line in the first half. Went through a pick in the end zone in the second half. And, yeah, I agree with you. I really liked it. It's a go for the jugular move, and there's not a ton of downside there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not like Washington's going to go for two with Sanchez to win the game, right?
Yep. That's a perfect low-risk, high-reward example of going for the two. There's other cases where there's a low-risk and high-risk and low-reward, which we've gotten into. But that was a great one. That really stood out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in the fourth quarter, there's not a lot of situations in the fourth quarter where I'm going to kill somebody for going for two, right? I mean, you got these high leverage situations at the end of a game. To your point, you see it happen early in the game sometime. Like, I think it was even, was it the Chargers? Was it the Chargers game where they... Anyway, like right at the it was one of the games this week. Right at the beginning of the third quarter, they went for two to get it within.
No, well, they were down 16, so they wanted to get to eight to get it to one score. So that was actually good too.
Right.
When they were down 16,
that's not
they
what
scored
I was
and they
thinking
got to
of.
Oh, okay,
but
okay.
In general, at the beginning of the third quarter, you know, you want to cut it for instead of being down four, you're going to be down three, things like that. I'm with you.
Yeah, I just don't like when they endanger themselves and they allow themselves to fall behind by two scores for going for two.
Right. And you got to know your offense. You know, the way the Eagles were moving the ball. I think that two-point conversion had about a 95% chance of success. All right, the other great game, and we just kind of talked about it for a second, was the Chargers at Pittsburgh, where you and I talked last week, and I think we kind of agreed the teams were evenly matched, but Pittsburgh at home, West Coast team going to the East Coast, read the tea leaves, it favored the Steelers. The Steelers came out, punched him in the mouth, 23-7. It looked like 23-7 and the ball at halftime. It looked like they were going to blow him out. And the Chargers so showed a lot of guts. The Chargers really showed me something in this game, because your old-school Chargers are folding up the tent in that situation. I mean, they're kind of known. This iteration of the Chargers is kind of known for kind of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory and losing to teams they shouldn't. And they really turned the tables here. I mean, they fought, they clawed. Rivers was great. Keenan Allen was just incredible. That defense was incredible in the second half. And, I mean, they really stole a game they shouldn't have won in a big game, a big, big game that really tips the Steelers division to being a race again and keep San Diego at least within striking distance of the Chiefs. So huge win for the Chargers.
Yeah, the Steelers are another example of my mush powers, just like with the Falcons and the Jaguars. A couple of weeks ago, I declared the Steelers ready to take the second seed and take that first round bye. And I think I've replaced McGinn as the official mush, because the last 2 weeks they've snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. This game was turned on one play, down 23-7. Rivers throws for Allen into double coverage. He throws it right into Joe Hayden's jersey, right between the two and the three, and Joe Hayden and the safety David went for a kill shot. And he wound up hitting more Hayden than they does Keenan Allen, and the ball just pops up right into Allen's hands. Just a spooky play, and it really saved Rivers, because if he throws a pick there, that's probably by Felicia. That's probably ball game. And then the whispers again how Rivers can't really, you know, win anything on the road or make a big play on the road. So that was a huge turning point. But to their credit, the Chargers shut down that Steelers offense. And you had talked the week before about how Big Ben had called out one of his teammates. As a matter of fact, the kid at Washington that he publicly shamed, the kid was deactivated.
They didn't dress him, yeah.
Yeah, and his replacement, Hunter, got wide open. And ironically, Big Ben overthrew him, which would have been a big touchdown. You know,
oh,
touchdown.
I mean, when you say why, I mean, he didn't have anyone within 10 yards of him. And then because of the overthrow, Hunter had to lay out trying to get it and ended up getting hurt and injuring his shoulder.
And it's ironic because the week before, the Washington kid, he dropped it because he dove for
when he
something
didn't have
that he
to.
Didn't that he, yeah, that he didn't have to. So it's just it's a lot of crazy irony in Pittsburgh. But
yeah, I mean, and it's tough, man, the Steelers now.
I think they'll bounce back. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a ticket to the bank mush prediction. I think these two teams will. I'm getting off the Steelers bye week, and I say these two teams meet again in week one of the playoffs, and the result will be Steelers 36, Chargers 16. You heard it here first.
All right. So the Steelers with essentially a bye week this week at Oakland. Oakland showed some feistiness against the non-existent Chiefs defense, but it was almost like the Chiefs didn't take them seriously until and then, you know, the Chiefs were dealing with obviously the Kareem Hunt stuff and all that. But even though Pittsburgh, Ben on the road, is not as good. I mean, I think they are going to come out and just destroy the hapless, terrible Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, they're going to let Connor heal up. But his replacement, who's escapes me at the moment, Jackson, is it? Or
Jalen Samuels.
He filled in nicely and had some nice runs.
He's a good player. I mean, they say they're going to use Stephen Ridley as well, who is not as good of a player. So we'll see what happens there. And then the Chargers, also with a bit of a bye week, as Jeff Driscoll and the Bengals are coming to to Los Angeles. The Chargers should just really whack them. AJ Green's done for the season. The Bengals, you know, maybe they'll get rid of Lewis after another disappointing season, but not much to say about them other than that. The Chargers should beat them to buy double-digit points.
Yeah, there's a couple of slam dunks.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we have, those were your marquee matchups of the week. Next one's a big surprise to me. Don't know how much we can talk about it, but I want to touch on it. The Colts coming in hot, playing as well as anybody in the AFC, going to Jacksonville, who had just benched Blake Bortles, and for all intents and purposes, looked like they were ready to just quit. I mean, I was shocked by this. The Jags shut the Colts out, win a terrible 6-0, six-nothing game. I mean, really, really, really hurts the Colts' playoff chances. You'd think this was Jacksonville showing some pride, the Colts just laying an egg, bad matchup.
Yeah, a mixture of those things. The Jaguars had shut them out last year, so there's probably something that they're in their defense that they kind of got their number. But in all these division games, it's just you never know. Like especially a team that quits, they still come up with like one last stand or one last day of pride when it comes to those division rivals, and they come. You even saw they were real pumped up for this game. For a team that lost 6-7 in a row. As a matter of fact, they showed the general Coughlin in the booth a lot. He was all fired up for some reason. They remained pumped up in Oregon. I don't know where this was all year, but just the division rivals brought it out.
Yeah, very impressive, I guess. I'm not impressed with them, but it was a win. So we have the Colts are heading to Houston in what now becomes a win or go home game for them. Good chance they're going home. Houston's playing really well.
And yeah, the Texans on a 9 or I think like the Saints, they're in for a bad game. Texans. I don't think they're going to run the table and go 13-3. They're due for a bad game, and the Colts might be desperate. I think a fresh shot this week.
You're breaking up on us a little there, John. You sounded like you were on the moon.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Better.
Okay. Yeah. I was saying that I think the Texans are due for a game. I don't think they're gonna roll and go to 13-3. And this might be an upset special. A desperate Colts team might bounce back and stop the Texans' winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, I like this Colts team, and right up until last week, I mean, I guess everybody has a bad game and they are desperate. So I can see that as well. Especially the Texans, you know, coming off they thrashed Cleveland, destroyed them. Really good defensive game for them. The Cleveland offense had been playing very well, and they forced 3 or 4 interceptions from Baker Mayfield. And the Texans are playing as well as anyone in football right now. But division game, Andrew Luck, desperation time. I think the Colts will at least make a game of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And plus, Houston may let up a little because the division isn't in jeopardy. They pretty much have it well in hand. They're going to win at least three out of the last four, but I just see that looking up here a little bit.
Right. And then the Jags, I don't know if we care. The Jags are playing in the piss break game of the week, which just happens to be on Thursday night this week. So last week it was Jets Titans, which very much lived up to the piss break game of the week. This week we have Jags Titans, which.
Well, the Titans missed their comeback. There was a little intrigue to that game. At least it came down to the fourth quarter. The Jets put and then laid down at the end for their draft. So everybody went home happy.
Sorry for that slight break in the action, everyone. More and more technical difficulties here in the studio, but we should be okay. So we were talking.
Yeah, the football gods are punishing us for talking too much about the Jets and Titans, I guess.
Yes.
Two mediocre teams at best. So let's move on to something else. Maybe the connection will be better. The sound will be better if we talk about a lighter subject.
It's a good point. The sound should always go off while we're previewing the piss break game of the week, right?
Let's get into that. Let's get into the Bears Giants game, what happened with the NFC North this week? The NFC North went south this week.
Bears at Giants, the G-men snatch attempt to give the game away and snatched victory in overtime against the Chase Daniel led Bears.
Yes,
it was looking like your standard Giants game of take the lead, figure out a way to lose.
Yeah, our franchise wide receiver exhibited how not to defend an onside kick.
You mean you're not just supposed to stare at it and watch the other team recover it?
Yeah, alligator arms. He was doing the gator chomp. I know he played for LSU, not University of Florida, so. That was quite a sight.
But, I mean, regardless, to throw up 30 on the Bears' defense is a nice game for the Giants. And, I mean, they started out terrible, but they have been playing better lately. I mean, they had the game against the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, and now they actually do get this one. So 30-27. You know, some of it definitely attributable to Chase Daniel. He threw a couple of picks. The offense, I mean, the Tariq Cohen was, he played great. But, you know, if your running back's getting 12 catches, it kind of speaks to the type of quarterback that Chase Daniel is. The Giants rode Barkley, 24 carries for Barkley, 1.25. Eli kept him in it. Didn't play great, didn't play awful against a good defense. And, yeah, it was a nice home win for the Giants against a good team.
Yeah, I was chatting it up with our Bears Nation there, Dr. Willie and our buddy Tim. And at first I was like, hey, you guys should be thankful that you split two games on the road with your backup quarterback, and you should be thankful. Plus the rest of the division lost. But reviewing, going over the highlights and reviewing the game the next day, you know, Daniel, yeah, well, he threw that awful pick to put him in a 7-0 hole. But really, after that, it was kind of on their defense. Daniel played well enough and brought him back to where they could have stole the game. And it was really more on their defense because Daniel got him into overtime and the defense, the Giants took the ball and the first play, Barkley just ran it right down their throat.
Yeah. I mean, you would think coming into the game, right? If you told Nagy that your offense is going to score 27 points, you know, I think he takes that, right? I mean, that's a win. That should be a win.
Mac didn't really abuse. He didn't really destroy the game like I figured he would against the Giants' piss poor line, which is they're improved from piss poor to just poor now. So that's quite an accomplishment.
But to your point, rest of the division lost, so the loss doesn't really hurt Chicago.
Yeah, they got another. They got a Rams burger though this week, so that's going to be.
That's probably another loss, right? I mean, that's almost. You never know. I mean, they I suppose they could play with them, but I think the Rams will probably run them off the field. Tim, if it goes the other way, I'll eat my words. You can blast me in the chat, but tough to see the Bears even at home hanging in there against that Rams team. Even more, like the Rams defense, I think, will give the Bears some problems because really the way, you know, Tlaib's back this week, I believe, which is huge for them. And Donald has been just a wrecking machine. So I think he'll be in, Trubisky should play. I think he'll be in Trubisky's face, probably force a couple of turnovers and the Bears D will have to really stand on their head to win that game, and I don't see it happening.
Unfortunately, me neither. But if they start out at home and get a couple of the Rams offense, they didn't really destroy the Bears. That game was close most of the way, so maybe they could slow down the Rams offense. Yeah, the Lions, I'm sorry. But,
I mean, that was one of those games, I think. I think that was similar to like the Chiefs Raiders game where they
played down to the level of competition.
Yes, I don't think Matt Patricia did anything to really befuddle them in any way. Second place team over there, Minnesota, coming off pretty much a no show against the Pats. I mean, the Pats just did whatever they wanted in that game. Cousins. The whole offense really came up pretty small, I thought. Defense didn't play well, just a bad game for them. And they have a winnable Monday night game, but certainly not an easy game going to Seattle. But, you know, if the Bears do lose and Minnesota can find a way to beat Seattle, Minnesota's a half game back. 8-5 versus 7-5-1. So we'll see. I think the Vikings need that, and then
the Vikings will have the Miami and Detroit the next 2 weeks, two winnable games, and that scenario that will keep them alive for that last game versus Chicago at home. So,
right.
So there is a path to them winning the division. But my mush powers again. I've been kind of high on the Vikings all year, and actually picked them over the Pats, and that was. A disappointing performance. There's no running game whatsoever, and your much maligned Patriot defense really stepped up. I didn't see Hatriot Twitter, getting on Devin McCourty and some of the whipping boys in the Pats defense. It was very quiet. Your Pats defense was very exemplary.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast, right, John? There's either something to complain about or when the team goes out, the Patriots go out against a very good Minnesota team and just completely shut them down.
And speaking of complaining,
you don't hear a word. You don't hear a word. It's like it didn't happen.
Speaking of complaining, I wasn't too impressed with Adam Thielen ran about 30 yards. He ran about 30 yards to yell at your coach, Bill, which he ran about 30 yards, which is two more yards than he had receiving.
That was pretty funny, though. Belichick was told to shut the fuck up. No, that was good stuff. It's good to see that passion from Bill. Thielen, not so much. I mean, the play that he did it on, too, was I don't know if you watched the whole game, but they went for it on 4th-and-1. Latavius Murray, like, it looked pretty clear that he didn't get it.
It was an awful call. I was saying, oh, if the Vikings use this to spur a comeback, where are all the people that say, oh, the league always favors the Patriots and all
they
that?
They even reviewed it, and because of him running into the pile, you can't see the ball, so there's no irrefutable evidence. But, I mean, both teams were running off the field without even a measurement, and then these idiots, you know, they not only do they give him the first down, and then Thielen's like over there beating his chest or something.
Yeah, well,
Bill put him in his place.
Yeah, and then it was good karma because you guys stopped them. It was a 4th and 7, and Cousins threw a nice 2.5 yard pass on 4th and 7.
Yep, that's the old Chad Pennington right there.
Next.
speaking of that division, we had a little the Arizona going into Lambeau as 14-point underdogs. Winning the game outright, beating the Packers. We talked about it last week and said that, you know, if the Packers somehow managed to lose that game, that they would probably fire McCarthy on the field. And they did let him get through the tunnel first, but pretty much, right? That was
That's another thing I disagree with. I don't disagree with like the urgency of firing a coach. I'm not really down with mid-season firings. But in this case, I think it was more of a mercy kill, and they wanted they let the guy be home with his family. You know, McCarthy, after you've been there like 13 years and so many times, the team eventually tunes you out. Like McCarthy, towards the end, he really got shit on as like a horrible coach, but. I mean, the guy they brought the team to. He brought the team to 9 playoff appearances out of 13. I'm not saying he's a Vince Lombardi or anything, but he maybe deserves a little more respect than what he got. He brought him to a Super Bowl. He brought him to the playoffs 9 out of 13 season, and he's never going to get any credit for that because you know, people say, oh, it's just because of Aaron Rodgers. But how they handle these coaches, like the situation with Cleveland was unmaintainable, where Jackson and the offensive coordinator went into the owner's office or the GM's office, and they were saying, hey, he's not listening to me, and they were like yelling at each other, and the GM pretty much said, okay, fuck both of you. You idiots are fired. So that was a situation where it was killing the team. But in other situations, the coach deserves at least a little respect. Like in the Jets situation, they're just going to let the Bulls hang until Black Monday.
Yep. Yeah, and I've seen it both ways on McCarthy. I mean, Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison kind of had the same conversation that you just alluded to. Dungy thought it was Bush League to fire in midseason. Harrison essentially said it was, he had lost the team. He had lost the team. They tuned him out. He'd been there a long time. And then I've heard the the mercy killing argument that they actually did him a favor by doing it in the middle of the season. I don't really have a strong opinion either way. It seemed like it had gotten really, really toxic with him and Rodgers. And, you know, you're not getting, sad as it is, right? I mean, you're not getting rid of Rodgers. If Rodgers isn't even using you've seen the reports, I'm sure, that, you know, Rodgers wasn't even like using McCarthy's plays. So I mean, when it's that bad, you got to do what you got to do.
I'm not defending McCarthy, but what do we always say is the barometer of a good coach? How soon will he get rehired after this? I'm already hearing rumblings that Cleveland and the Jets are interested. So if he gets rehired, then you know his reputation speaks for itself. But if he's a shitbird like a lot of people say, then he'll just probably have to hang on for an offensive coordinator position. So yeah, that remains to be seen.
Given the run that he had over there, I think he gets another head coaching job.
Yeah, but there are detractors that'll say he should have won more with Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rodgers is a great quarterback, but, you know, Dan Marino was a great quarterback. Does that make Don Shula a terrible coach?
Right.
I mean, it's not just the quarterback.
But just to play devil's advocate, I don't see they traded Clinton Dix. They never gave him any defensive playmakers, and even this year the receiving corps, Adams has been great, but Cobb has been hurt most of the year. They're bringing the Valdez Scantling. They're bringing these other.
Yeah, I mean they drafted a couple of guys late in the draft.
Yeah, Graham looks kind of shot. You know,
they
Graham's
got rid of.
Their
I mean,
team.
Not that he's been great, but Rodgers was pissed when they let Jordy Nelson go, And Nelson hasn't been great. I mean, he's in like the worst situation in football in Oakland. But I mean, Rodgers is a guy that makes guys good, and they already had a rapport. I mean, you're telling me Nelson wouldn't have gone out there and been better than Marquez Valdez-Scantling? Of course he would have been better, right?
Yeah, Cobb being banged up in and out of the lineup really hurt him. But going to they never gave McCarthy a defense to work with. Always mediocre and in the bottom half of the league on the defensive side. So once again, it comes off like I'm defending him, but I'm just throwing another opinion out there, the devil's advocate, that maybe he's not like the worst coach in the world. He's not on Hugh Jackson level.
No, I mean there's some of it reminds you a little bit of Andy Reid in Philly.
I think there's a lot of fat shaming too, man. You know, man. I know.
That's not
coaches that pack on a few pounds always get abused a little more than like studly, good-looking coaches for some reason.
No, but I mean, Andy Reid had worn out his welcome in Philly, right? Very successful. Worn out the welcome in Philly. Very offensively successful. And look, he went to Kansas City, and you know what? He could still do it. So. I don't know if McCarthy's got that in him, but I think he has at least earned a chance with a team like the Jets or like Cleveland to get that second chance.
Yeah. What are the
We're with you, Mike.
Another coach that might be in trouble. Who else you think might be in trouble?
Who else do I think might be in trouble? I don't think you'll see anyone else go mid-season.
No, not mid-season, but I'm talking about at the end of the season. What about the guys in the NFC South? Two disappointments, Quinn and how about Riverboat Ron? He's kind of panicking. He fired a couple of defensive guys, and he's taken over the defensive reins this week. You think he might be in jeopardy if
no?
No,
I think he's got at least one more year. Quinn should be in jeopardy. But they seem to really like him there.
Well, you got him to a Super Bowl, which in Atlanta is happens about as often as me getting a hot piece,
Right. It's once a decade ish.
I'm
just
being
fucking
too kind.
With you, man.
You're overstating.
Wilkes. In Arizona, they're already talking about.
Yeah, one and done, huh?
That's tough. Think he's gone. Gruden should be gone, but we know that's
it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Vance Joseph, depending on how the season finishes out, he could be gone. Gase is another one who I would consider firing. Who I think they'll keep giving. I think they'll give him another shot.
All right. I think I see an upset this week. Miami's gonna come out and they play well. They play the Patriots well at home.
I've been hearing this. It's true. The Patriots do tend to, for whatever reason, they lose late in the season at Miami. But this Miami team is like worse. Some of these other Miami teams. I mean, they are bad. I know their record is 6-6, but they suck. If you watch them play, I mean, they don't have
coach and quarterback. They need a refresh and they need a clean house in there.
I mean, they're 6-6 with a point differential of -56. To put that in perspective, the Giants' point differentials at 4-8 is only -48. And I mean, it's. You know, they're 6-6 and they're, you know, like they should be worse than that. They can't stop the run at all. Josh Allen ran for 135 yards against them last week. So I really expect the Pats to come out and pound with Michelle and with Rex Burkhead. Like, I don't think Brady's going to have to chuck it around too much in this game. I think it'll be just running right down their throat the whole game. And then Tannehill's a bum. I would be shocked if Miami does the Miami thing and beats the Patriots this week.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis gone.
Yeah, Black Monday is going to be going to be very hectic. Could see about about 5 to 7 coaches biting it on Black Monday. But we'll get into that further down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a, we'll see. We'll see if our prognostications are right there. But Riverboat Ron would really surprise me. I think he would get a job right away. I think he's a good coach. He's a little unorthodox, but I think he's a good coach.
But also, under the radar, hasn't really been talking about Cam with the 4 picks versus a Buccaneers defense that went about 5 games without any turnovers. That's not a good look.
Well, they were also down their top 3 cornerbacks, I believe. So it was even worse than the regular Buccaneers defense.
That went under the radar. Cam out there, not exactly a media hotbed. A lot of stuff in Carolina, you could have a bad game and not take a lot of heat for it. It's kind of a laid back atmosphere out there.
Right. But they've lost 4 in a row. I mean, that team's in trouble.
Yeah. Especially with the 2 games. They still got 2 versus the Saints in these last few weeks.
Yeah, so they have a must win this week at Cleveland, and that's not an easy game. I don't think that's in the way that Carolina's playing. I think Cleveland almost should win that game.
Yeah, but I keep saying one of these weeks Carolina's got to snap out of that. I don't think they're as bad as they are, but. At 6-6, you are what your record is.
Yeah, and sometimes things just snowball. Cleveland's playing with a lot of passion since Hugh hit the road. I'm going out on a limb. I like the Browns in that game.
Yeah, that's not really going out on a limb. That's like a toss up.
Man, you're just calling me out, huh?
Yeah, I think the
calling
Panthers,
me
you know,
out. What are you?
When the point spread is 1 and you want to fillet yourself saying, oh, I'm picking a big upset when the point spread's 1, that's come on, Raj, we can do better, my friend.
You're right. It's not a limb, but I'm going to take the Browns there. Yeah, other than that, we have it's not a lot of real exciting matchups this week. The best game we haven't talked about, which we probably should talk about, is Baltimore at Kansas City. Lamar Jackson's been a revelation in Baltimore. They're running the RG3 offense, which ironically RG3's on the team, but they're running the offense that they know they can't maintain for more than just this half a season without getting the guy killed. But they're half a game behind Pittsburgh now. Going to Kansas City, very difficult game, but much like Cowboys Saints last week, if there's a team that can beat the Chiefs, it's a team that's going to run the ball 50 times. The Chiefs' defense is not good at all. I mean, the Raiders scored 30 points against them. It's a team that can run the ball 50 times like that, control the clock, and whose defense is playing real well, and the Baltimore defense is playing real well. I think... Man, I don't know. The more I think about this game, the more I like Baltimore. If it was in Baltimore, I would pick Baltimore. But I think the Chiefs will eke it out at home.
I like the Ravens to tear them up on the ground. Like you said, I think they're going to ride Gus the Bus to an upset here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance of it, John, because that Chiefs D, I mean, that's going to be there. That's going to be their Achilles heel going into the playoffs. I think they pretty clearly have the best offense, even without Hunt. I think they have the best offense in the NFL. But, I mean, that defense is such a sieve. The Raiders haven't looked good against anybody all season, right? I mean, it's like a high school team. And they were marching up and down the field. They're coming from behind. They got it down to 3. They cut it to 3 with 4 minutes left. Just...
Yeah, I like the Ravens to get a turnover or two and turn the game and with that in their running game.
Yeah, you can't run on the Ravens anyway. I mean, I think even with Hunt, they wouldn't have been able to run too much on Baltimore. Without him, I mean, I think you'll just see Mahomes basically have everybody spread out, shotgun the whole game. I think I love that kid. You know, I think he's got that it factor. I think he's just a stud, and I think he'll figure out a way to pull it out at home at the end. But I think it's a great, great game.
Yep, that's a was that a Sunday at 1 o'clock? Okay,
Sunday at one. So
unfortunately, here in New York, we have the Jets and the Giants, both at 1 o'clock. So and that's going to be a red zone special.
Jets Buffalo could be your, that's your piss break game on Sunday. Giants Washington not far behind. Wow, those are probably the two worst games on the schedule on the whole docket. Terrible.
Yeah, that was a good week to have DirecTV, but we're gonna have to stick with the red zone. Thank God.
I mean, the positive is out of those four teams, Eli's probably the best quarterback right now. Right now, Darnold,
Darnold's
Allen,
coming back. Yeah.
Sanchez,
Darnold and Allen is
it's interesting for the future.
Yeah,
but
it's gonna be a raucous Buffalo crowd. I mean, maybe it'll get some snow. I don't know if it'll get cold enough. Maybe it'll get some snow. It'll be a drunken, low life Buffalo crowd to liven things up.
Throwing dildos on the field.
the Cocks have spent more time in the end zone than the Bills have up until the last couple of weeks.
So if you have the Sunday ticket, you can watch Ravens at Chiefs at 1, Eagles at Cowboys at 4, and then Rams at Bears at 8:20. That's a heck of a Sunday right there.
Yeah, we at least got the Dallas and Eagles. Nice NFC East clash. So we at least get that.
That's a good point. You got any? We're coming up on time here. You got any closing thoughts? Anything? I know. They were cutting to Jerry in the booth quite a bit on Thursday night. And
all I want
to say, I couldn't get it out of my head that I'm like, where are his hands? I can't see his hands. Where are his hands?
it's amazing. A few weeks ago, one of the PICs of the PTBN Nation, who probably doesn't even he's too good, he's too busy saving the world, doesn't listen to this, Mr. Criscolo. A few weeks ago, he was complaining that Jerry should sell the team, and he was ranting about his Cowboys, and now they're sitting fucking pretty in first place. So and back to the insufferable Cowboy fans.
Yep, exactly. Fair weather, as they say, right? Fair weather.
Just like another fan base who, the team loses about 2-3 times a year. And
Right. Losing in the – you go down 7 in the AFC title game and hear about how Tom Brady sucks. But good stuff, man. Always a pleasure, John. You enjoy the games on Sunday. Take your notes. Everybody read the Wednesday morning quarterback. I read it. John went over the three biggest plays from the three biggest games of the weekend. I thought it was a great piece of work there, John, really getting down to the nitty-gritty of what really decided those games. You talked about one of those plays here with the Keenan Allen touchdown where the safety for the Steelers laid a giant hit on the cornerback for the Steelers.
I'm sure you and Senior were loving that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Senior was. Senior loves it. Loves it. You'd love Senior's. You know, we don't talk a lot of the fantasy football on here, but you'd love Senior's fantasy football team. He's got Brady, Gostkowski, the Patriots defense, Michelle, and James White all on this. No joke. So,
Godless.
He's a homer, and we love him. But good stuff, John.
Awesome.
So for Mr. D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy. And please tune in next week. Drop us a line anytime. You guys know how to get a hold of us, and we'll talk about whatever you want on here. So over and out.
All right. Bears Nation, good luck.